not ashamed of the gospel, but what happens if we miss the opportunity to share the gospel? Should we feel guilty, or do we just put it aside and say, well, it wasn't the right opportunity to share the gospel?
If I had an opportunity and I failed to take it, and there's a sort of distinction that theologians will make in terms of free will and free agency and God's ordination of things. There is what we sometimes refer to as God's decretive will, the things that God has ordained shall come to pass, some of which are made clear to us, that God will be glorified in all things ultimately, and some of which are not clear. And then there's what is called God's preceptive will, which is God telling us what to do. My business is with God's preceptive will. There are things that I don't know, things that I can't understand. My job is to obey.
Amen.
So when it comes to a situation like that, and I think all, I can't imagine that people haven't felt this. The French apparently have this thing that they call, translated, the spirit of the staircase. Is when you have an argument with someone, and as you're walking down the stairs away from them, you remember that really clever thing you should have said right at the end that would have really cinched the argument for you. And I thought, I mean, I don't know about you brothers. I mean, I don't come out the pulpit very often without going, oh, I wish I'd said this, or hadn't said that, or said this this way. Or you think, why was I not bold enough? Or why did I think 10 minutes later, oh, I could have said this then? If you are blameworthy, ask God to forgive you. If you were a coward, if you were too fearful, but we don't see all the opportunities. And I don't think we need to beat ourselves up in the wrong sense unless we are persistently avoiding those opportunities. So there will be times when you think, I wish I'd taken that moment. Yeah, you could walk away from a hospital bed and think, oh, I'm not sure this is a good time to speak. And then 2 days later, you hear that they've died. And you think, oh, I wish I'd said something. And a lot of people, I will never make that mistake again. And you learn your lesson. But I wouldn't be saying, is there somebody in hell because I didn't say something? I think you'll be very careful about sort of putting ultimate responsibility upon yourself. So what belongs to you? God has called us in accordance with our character, capacity, opportunity to speak the truth in Jesus. If we fail to take those opportunities and there's sin in it, repent and depend upon the Lord God to help you to do better next time. But if you spend your entire life beating yourself up about what you could, should, maybe might have done, then you'll just torment yourself. And that will actually cripple you more than anything else.
Yes.
Yeah. I think if I could interject there, I think it was D.L. Moody who was preaching at a mission or whatever it was, and he told the people to go away and to consider Christ and then come back with what they were going to do. And I think either that same night or the following day was the great fire in Chicago, and many souls went out into eternity. And the evangelist who I think was D.L. Moody, he vowed never again to let people go without challenging them of their immediate need of Christ. You know, but he made that mistake, you know, and we all, I think, make the same mistake and miss those opportunities.
The flip side to that, you think of someone like Archibald Alexander. Now, Archibald Alexander was a superb theologian, but he cut his teeth as a preacher and knew wonderful blessing from God in his ministry. When he went out to preach in the towns and villages of the frontier in America, he would go to a place and he'd preach the law. He'd preach the judgment of God. He'd preach the sin of men and women. He'd go on to the next place. He'd do a circuit. And after a week or two, he'd come back and he would preach so that under God, he might then find prepared souls. And you sort of think, well, that's bold, isn't it? You know, well, do you want to leave it 2 weeks between telling someone that they're doomed if they don't trust in Christ? Now, I'm not saying he never mentioned Christ the first time around, but you might argue there's a man who trusts in God because Christ will save all his people. There isn't someone going to be lost.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why we don't want to miss our opportunities, but we know that God has ordained that, as Mac was saying, from the very beginning, he has set his love upon his people, and not one of them will be lost. So that's our confidence, that God is saving his people.
Mm-hmm.
Our responsibility, 100%, is to preach the gospel as God gives us the opportunity and the responsibility.
We're told for freedom, Christ has set us free. We are the freest people on the face of this planet. And if we miss an opportunity, I don't know how it is with you folks. I do stupid things on a regular basis. And when I find I can go to the Lord, confess it, and go on my way. You know what I found? If I ask the Lord for opportunities to speak to people, he brings them. He answers that prayer. If you are about ready to get on an airplane and you ask the Lord for an opportunity, it'll be there. But I find we are people who we can strategize about loving this world and reaching this world. And when we mess up, what is the cross all about? We are a justified people. My sins aren't being held against me. I can go back to the Lord. Father, I messed up. And here it is. And then you can just happily go on your way with new strategies for, Lord, I'm going to try to do better next time. I want to please you. And we're just free.
Amen. Anything else?
I think I would use that question, Angus, to let it motivate us to not look for some kind of supernatural opportunity to share the gospel. And I don't want to undermine that every opportunity is always the right time, right place. But I was in America with Tim and Ruby last year. And on the way home, we decided that you decided, Tim.
What did I decide?
That we'd have a nice burger before we left. Do you remember?
What?
You said that was stupid because you were on the keto diet and you regretted it. We had a lovely burger in America just as we were about to fly out, and we went and paid. I walked out, sorry Ruby, and Ruby said, did you give that lady a tract? And to my shame, I said no. So every opportunity is an opportunity.
Amen.
As we heard from Jeremy, this is the gospel. This is the gospel that saves. And in every situation, in every season of our life, let us not just think, oh, I missed an opportunity. Let us just be motivated to walk in the opportunity.
We mustn't think of the day of judgment as a day when God will rehearse all our failures and weaknesses and sins of omission and remind us about them. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? The judge is the savior. The Redeemer who took all the guilt and for every failing, for the sins of omission as well. You know, he's fully satisfied his own righteousness. The day of judgment is a day of vindication. There have been our brothers who have been burnt at the stake, or they've been crucified upside down, or they've suffered terribly. The world has said, evil men. The day of judgment is a day of vindication, when God will honor them and see them in Christ as what they are. God will take every factor into consideration when he judges us. There'll be no miscarriages of judgment at all. If there is one person who goes to hell longing to go to heaven, I'll go to hell with that person.
Amen.
I don't think we pray enough for God to give us divine appointments and opportunities. What Tim said about ask for them is really right. I was flying, I think, to Chicago one morning, and the cheaper flight took me to Kansas City, and then I was going over. So the plane stops in Kansas City. I'm waiting because I'm not getting off. And the plane's full, and there's one seat left. And it's by me. And about 4:30 that morning, I'd prayed, Lord, today, just give me one. One, give me one. So right before they shut the door, this Middle Eastern-looking man, nicely dressed, gets on, sits down by me, puts in his ear pods, and we're flying. And I had my Bible open on the tray, and I'm reading. And so the coffee and water comes, and I close my Bible, and the man says, excuse me, is that an English Bible? Yes, sir, it is. I lived in Jerusalem for a number of years, and I learned to read the Hebrew Bible. So I have two questions I've always wanted to ask someone. Could I ask these to you? And I said, yes. Said the spider to the fly. So I don't think I answered him well, but he said, well, here's my first one. What really is the message of the Old Testament? So I started in Genesis 3. And I went to John 3:16. And he was just a sitting duck. He's not going anywhere. What do I have to fear? So the second question was, it surprised me. I've always wondered, what's the difference between a Roman Catholic and a Protestant? Again, gospel. You can get to the gospel there. And so it was a beautiful opportunity here. But we should pray for opportunities. But you know what? We pass up a lot of opportunities we could take advantage of. Lynn and I were with a man who was probably 75 on the train from Aberystwyth to Birmingham. We were flying to Germany to see our son. And this elderly man with a cane on the platform, he just starts talking to us. Oh, I hear your accent. Where are you from? Texas. I've been to Texas, he said in his English. Well, and he said, so he wanted to talk. We get on the train. He sits down across from us, and he starts pouring out his life story. And it's just like he warms up to us. Well, he's getting off soon. What do? He keeps talking. And so finally, Linda said to him, and I said to him, well, we're Christians. We're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I go to church. So I pulled out a John Blanchard Ultimate Questions. He's leaving. I said, will you read this? It's about the good news of Jesus Christ. So that opportunity could have come and gone, right? You have nothing to lose.
Sure.
Now, we have neighbors right across from us who are the sweetest people. They're the sweetest neighbors. And they're devout Roman Catholics. And so over 16 years of living in this house, we have become really warm friends. And so the man's, I won't give his name, but I called him up and said, hey, I want to take you to lunch because I know your wife had some spiritual questions. She had come over, rang the doorbell one day, and she's crying on the porch. She said, Mac, my father is dying, and she's weeping. Would you pray for him right now? And I was happy to do so. And I prayed truly, and the door was opening more and more with them. And so I said, let's go to lunch. And I took Ultimate Questions by John Blanchard. We go to a Mexican restaurant. If you come to America, I'll take you to one of the best Mexican restaurants in Texas. So we sat down, and I said, called his name. What spiritual questions do you have? He said, Mac, I'm afraid to die. And for 45 minutes, we got to the gospel. His tears are coming down his cheeks. And I have continued to plant seeds. I'm overdue for another Mexican lunch with him. Now, I'm on a different diet, so it may not be, maybe just a steak and some blueberries. But, brethren, we all have opportunities if we'll seize them. So take advantage of the opportunities you have, and God will honor it.
Robert, I don't want to belabor this too much, but listen, everybody just needs,
Do something. Look, not everybody is designed to go into prisons. Some people, they can take the gospel into a nursing home. Some people are very comfortable going door to door. Some people can stand in the streets. Some people is going to be speaking to your family members. Look for the opportunities. I've got a funeral this week, and I thought, hey, I've got a number of Jeff's books still in there. You can have it all. Well, I'm going to take those to this. This is Ian Murray's secretary from Banner. Her father died. But you can have business cards. You can have books. You can have Bibles. You can speak a word. You can be active to try to get your pastor's sermons on the internet. There's also, think about, just be creative. How can you get the gospel into the prisons? How can you get it to the people that are in the down and out parts of the city? How can you get it to the rich? How can you get it to people that are black, people that are white, people that are yellow, people that are red? How can we just be about getting the gospel forth? You know, when the whole church is minded that way, it's like, what part can I play? How can I fit into this? Some people are in a place that maybe they're prayer warriors. They can pray for the guys that go out. They can pray that God would be giving opportunities in the church. But, we heard about it. What a glorious gospel we have. We don't want to keep this to ourselves. This is how we know what the scripture says. How are people going to call upon a Christ in whom they don't believe? I mean, we know the way. Sometimes we forget the way. It's also, we almost feel like, we've got Calvinism. We're Orthodox. It's almost like we feel like the orthodoxy is going to carry the day, and somehow we're going to be fruitful just because we have that. But we don't want to forget Romans 10. I mean, the fact is, they're not going to believe in a Christ of whom they haven't heard, and who has the message. You see, we can always think, well, somebody else is who's going to do it? Military going to move it? The politician going to do it? School system going to do it? No, we say the church is going to do it. Well, which churches are going to do it? You want the liberal Methodists down the street do it? They don't do it. The Jehovah's Witnesses do it. The Mormons do it. But they're just leading people to hell. Who's going to do it? We've got the truth.
I just had one more thought. We don't know how to build a bridge right often. I have meetings with couples in our church or with brothers, often at restaurants for coffee, and the server will come. And invariably, I try to do this. I'll say, when the server's there long, I said, I just have a question for you. Have you ever heard the real truth about the wonderful love of Jesus Christ? Have you ever heard this? Yes, I've heard it. I grew up in church. I've had people in America, 30 and under, it says, no, I don't know anything about him. I've heard his name used in a wrong way. And so I'll say, look, here's the truth, and I'll give the gospel in 2 minutes. There's a God. He made you and I. You know he made you. Inside you have that knowledge. But we have a sin problem. We've sinned against God. God has sent his son to save us from our sin. Read this booklet. It tells you the whole story. It's the truth. You have nothing to lose by reading it. You have everything to gain by reading it. That takes 3 minutes. Build a bridge. And who knows how God's going to own that and bless it.
Just practically, who's got a tract, an invitation, or a gospel in their bag? That's not like, I did that, or I didn't, I'm wrong. But Nigel's out there. You can take two, stick them in a pocket, carry something with you. So that even if you just got a few words and then you can leave. Now, don't make the tract an excuse for telling people about Jesus. Yeah. I stuck some stuff through a door. I'm a good evangelist. You're an evangelist once you've told someone the good news. But use those tracts or gospels, especially Mark and John, because Matthew, you hit the genealogy in chapter 1 and some people just switch off. Great if you're Jewish, that's, but John's gospel, Mark's gospel, they tend, in my experience, people who've never encountered the gospel before aren't put off by the long list of names early on in Matthew and fairly early on in Luke. But just take a gospel, have a tract. And when those opportunities come up, when that server is there or you're chatting to someone, and I gave them this booklet. And I go, where did that come from? I carry it with me. So when the opportunity arises, so just have something and just scatter a little bit of gospel seed wherever you go.
I was on a plane going to New Zealand, and there was a woman sitting next to me, and so the conversation came along these lines, and I spoke to her and spoke to her about the gospel. About 2 weeks later, I was preaching in a town in New Zealand. There were a couple in the congregation. They come on to me afterwards and say, "We were sitting behind you on the plane when you came from London, and we were praying for you that God would bless your words to that woman." We never know what's happening, do we?